Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whichever the case may be. As always, thank you so much for listening to our wondrous little podcast. Please check out our sponsors if you have time. I'm just kidding. We don't have any sponsors. We don't have anything. Seriously. Nobody knows we even exist, except for the 12 people that follow us. Woohoo! A big hearty thank you and an attaboy to each and every one of you for being trendsetters and trailblazers. I would like to thank each of you personally, but I just don't know if we'll have enough time, because today we are traveling back in time and to the jungles of the Amazon, to the home of the Shuar, also known as the Havaro tribe, also known as Headhunters. If you've ever been to the shop, you know that I have a small museum of the coolest and rarest things I have found that aren't usually for sale, but are usually worth taking a look at and reading about. In one of the cases, I have four shrunken heads, and of the four, one of them is an actual, real, shrunken human head. Her name is Crystal. The other three are each made of different materials. One is rubber, one is composite plastic or molded resin, and the other is animal hide, most likely goat or cow. Probably goat, though. Crystal is the real deal, and she is one of the few things that I didn't actually find or come across in a storage unit. I purchased her, and it took me a long time to find her. They are very rare. She was obviously sold as a female shrunken head, but I have my doubts. Those doubts are, number one, female heads are extremely, extremely rare, and I'll expound on that in a little while. Number two, her roots are brown while her hair is blonde or white. So someone dyed it, and it's clearly not a salon dye job. It was done after the fact. Number three, her hair isn't actually very long. When you shrink a head, the hair does not shrink with it. So her hair on her head now is barely to her shoulders, which would have been on a full head, maybe to her ears, maybe a little longer. So I don't think that, and that would have been extremely short for somebody in the 1900s to 1915, which is most likely when she had been shrunken down. I suppose it could have been cut at a later date, but she's got a lot of split ends and it's not layered like a salon or a normal cut. It's an organic flow. So I think it's a real length when she was shrunken down. And number four, like most shrunken heads, she ended up in a circus sideshow before the family I purchased her from acquired her. She was part of a group of three heads known as the family. There was a husband, a child, and Crystal. But any good circus promoter knows if you want to sell tickets, you have to draw the crowd in. You have to sell that story. And what's a better story? Hey, come look at our collection of shrunken heads, or come see the poor family from insert any small town anywhere where you're traveling, who went on vacation to Peru and were captured by savages and had their heads shrunken down. Even the child, not the child. No, I think they dyed her hair because it made her look more feminine, because shrunken heads don't really keep feminine or masculine qualities once they're shrunken. And they had one head that was just a little bit smaller, so they billed it as a child, because who would know? Who would know that heads shrink down to different sizes based on the skill of the shrinker and how quickly it was done? Well, now, no DNA testing has ever been done on Crystal, so I could be completely wrong. I could be right. I could be wrong. Maybe. Maybe I'm just selling you a better story. So that brings us to the two questions I get asked most often. Why did the Havaro or the Shuar do it? And how did they do it? They did it because their children needed toys. No, I'm kidding. That's not true. However, it is true that once the ceremonies were done, the heads were often given to the children to use as balls to kick around. So that's something to look forward to. Think about that next time you're watching soccer. They did it because it's what they believed in. Their belief system was made up of many different deities and spirits, and they believed in a kind of reincarnation. And oftentimes, the only way to get rid of a bad demon off your back was to kill the person that you believed wronged you. You did not want to be a medicine man in the Havaro tribe. The life expectancy was not very long. Think about it. If someone got sick and you couldn't cure them, you would most likely be the next. And what were you curing them with? Smoke and dancing and some maniac beer. And that doesn't always cure things like yellow fever and infection and sepsis. Also understand that before the white man came a-calling and creating a market for the shrunken head, this wasn't something that was done every weekend. It was rare. It was a coming of age for tribal warriors, but it was also expensive for them. They had to have three festivals for their entire village, and they had to provide all the food and the maniac, or the beer, which is made from saliva and yucca. It's also known as chicha now in Peru. It's delicious. I highly recommend you find some. But if they couldn't survive, if they couldn't provide all of that food and beer, they could possibly get kicked out of their village. So what does any of this have to do with chopping someone's head off and shrinking it down? Well, they believed that every person had a soul, or actually three souls, and one of them was the avenging soul. And if you didn't trap that avenging soul, it would haunt you and your family for all of eternity. Well, how do you stop that? Well, fortunately and conveniently, the soul leaves through the mouth upon death. So if you chop off the head, sew the mouth shut, and shrink it down, boom. Instant ghost trap that even Egon Spengler would be proud of. So that takes us to the second question, how did they do it? Well, the movie Beetlejuice is surprisingly accurate. The tribal witch doctor makes a magic shrinking dust made from the pulverized skeletons of tree fairies and sloth mucus. No, that's not exactly true. It's not even remotely true. First, you have to get a head, usually carved off with the sharpened shells or wooden axe, preferably as close to the torso as possible. You gotta give yourself some room to work. Next, you run a vine through the now open neck hole and the mouth so you can run through the jungle with it strapped to your back without it getting in the way. Remember, some people do not want you to take their friend or their father's head, and now they would like to have yours as retribution. Once you're out of danger or as time permits, remember many of these were probably done in stages as they moved around the jungle so they didn't get killed, you first make an incision up the back of the head, almost up to the crown. Now you slowly slide your hands between the skin and the skull with your sharpened shells and carefully remove it. It's easier to do it if you have a friend help hold it for you. Once you have the skull out, just go ahead and toss that in the river. You don't need it anymore. Now you can turn the skin inside out and channel your inner leather face. Scrape off as much flesh as you can with the shells and throw it in a pot of simmering, not boiling, simmering water. If you use boiling water, the hair will fall out, and nobody's looking for an Uncle Fester shrunken head. Put it in the water with a proprietary blend of 11 herbs and spices for about 30 minutes to up to 2 hours, depending on the head. Pull it out, hang it to dry, scrape the inside again, now sew the eyes shut from the inside, turn it right side out, and sew up the incision you made earlier, and put three wooden pegs through the lips, trapping the avenging soul. Duh. Tie a sturdy small vine around the neck hole so it can give you a permanent opening. Now you fill that opening with a couple of hot rocks and shake it around like a magic eight ball. This helps sear the inside and dry it out. While you're doing this, have your charcoal dust ready because you'll have to rub the outside of the face. While you're doing that, that helps, again, dry out the outside, but it also has to, you have to shape the face back into a face because right now it's just a limp rubber Halloween mask, only smaller. Keep doing this with smaller and smaller rocks as the head gets smaller and smaller until you get to sand. Once you're done with the hot sand, you're finished. You've trapped a soul and saved your family from an eternity of damnation from an angry avenging soul. You can pull the wooden lip pegs and insert cords and braid them and adorn them however you see fit. Also, punch two holes in the top of the head so you can thread a cord through it and wear it around your neck, you stylish bastard. You're getting laid tonight for sure. So why am I bringing this up? Well, quite frankly, it's interesting to me. I realize it's pretty grotesque to some people, but if you told those tribes what we did to our deceased, meaning that we embalmed them or that we cremated them, they would be mortified and horrified for us because that means your soul is trapped forever and can't get out. So yes, it's grotesque to chop somebody's head off, but it's very interesting to me how different people from around the world do different things that they think are right. Also, maybe next time you'll be able to impress your friends or in-laws when you're in a museum, because I'm willing to bet that if you find a shrunken head in a museum, it's probably a fake. Yep. And I would be willing to bet that the curator probably doesn't know it's a fake, because it's not an often discussed topic, and most were pulled from the museum when they went out of fashion. They are extremely, extremely rare. I only see them come up to auction, and I watch all year long. If I'm on a good year, I see four come up for auction. And so they're in private hands, but they just don't show up. So they're very, very rare. So it's a lot easier and more common to find a fake. So I'm going to teach you how to tell the difference between a real shrunken head and a fake shrunken head. Are you ready? Are you excited? I'm pretty excited. Fake shrunken heads are easy to spot if you know what you're looking for. I can spot a fake shrunken head from across a museum. Most importantly, they just don't look right. And I hate it when people tell me that, because when I'm trying to figure something out, they're like, well, if you know, you know. Yeah, but if you don't know, you don't know. How do you get to that point? Well, I could say that because I've researched them and have seen hundreds and hundreds of images and more, many more in person. As I said earlier, the often mistaken heads are usually made from animal hide or leather or dried skin. It's more like beef jerky than leather, and it's just tooled or worked into a face or head shape. And I don't care how good you are at tooling leather, you cannot make an ear out of leather. Because an ear is only attached at the base, it's a flappy piece of skin. You can't stretch leather around like that and fold in on itself, or cut it without seeing the cuts or attaching pieces the other attached pieces. It just doesn't look right. So if you look at a fake shrunken head's, or if you look at a shrunken head's ear, if it doesn't look like an ear, then it's not a real shrunken head. It will look like it's attached at the top and all the way around the sides, and that's just not how ears are made. By God, I assume that's not how he makes them. I haven't had a chance to interview him. Maybe later on. Fake heads also have a lot of facial hair because they are trying to cover up their work, literally. Lips are like ears. They protrude from the face and are bulbous. That's very tough to create with thin leather. Your pie hole and your nostrils are smooth on the inside because the skin goes in and around and through down to your throat. The only way you can do that with leather is to cut it or curl it under, but you can always see where it's curled or most often not curled. It's just a cut piece of hide and it looks bad. So the easiest way to deal with that is just to cover it up with facial hair. And the curious fact, or curious side note, is the Havaro had very little facial hair. That's just a genetic fact. So it didn't make sense for them to put hair on unless they were trying to cover something up. It also usually is just glued on haphazardly with no real discerning pattern. So if you look at the hair, facial hair, eyebrows, and stuff like that, you can tell that it's just glued on, especially the eyebrows. It's always the eyebrows. A real human eyebrow grows from the center of the face out. Don't believe me? Go look in a mirror. I'll wait. Go on. Go on now. They grow out and they face towards your ears from the center. Do you know how hard that is to fake? You would have to hand punch each hair to pull that off. Same as eyelashes and nose hairs. On fake heads, eyelashes usually are trimmed horribly, like a group of aliens were trying to infiltrate our planet and knew we had eyelashes, but didn't really give them much thought and just had someone slap some on. They're usually glued on the top of the skin, willy-nilly, sideways, and just not realistic at all. Lastly, the nose hair, same as all the others. Fakes very rarely have nose hair, and if they do, it's always just the same hair that's all over the rest of this monstrosity. It's thick and coarse like your grandfather's. Those things could be used as bullwhips. So now you should be able to spot a real shrunken head. And if you should ever find one at a garage sale or a thrift store, I would highly, highly recommend picking it up, because they are pretty easy to sell, and they are worth between $8,000 and $50,000 a piece. Yeah, $8,000 and $50,000. Now, why such a vast range in price? I'm glad you asked. You're a sharp cookie. That's because there are actually two different types of shrunken heads, not including shrunken sloth heads. Wait, did I just say sloth heads? Yes. Why would they want to shrink a sloth head? Well, so remember when we raided that village and killed our enemy? Well, sometimes it's a little too hard to get away with the victim's head because the rest of the tribe is hunting you down. What the hell are you going to do now? At any minute, an avenging soul is going to transform into a jaguar and come after you and your family. Well, you can kill a sloth and shrink its head as a proxy. Hey, someone's got to pay the price. Better a sloth than you. So sloth heads do turn up in the market, but not very often. I've been trying to find one for a while now with very little success. So before the white man introduced himself to the tribes, there was only one type of shrunken head called a tsansa. That was everything you just learned about. It was always, always, always an adult male, because it was very bad jujus to take a woman or a child's head. Totally bad. Still is. It was a big ceremony, and it was very important to the tribes. Once the white man came down, all hell broke loose, as it usually does, because we had metal fishing hooks, knives, mirrors, and guns, and we do like oddities. So some intrepid traveler traded a mirror and a few fish hooks for a head, took it home, and created a man, and the rest is economics 101. And the tourist head market was born. No, it's not tourists that traveled down to Peru and were killed, although a lot of people believe that. That is absolutely not the case. There are no records of that anywhere. They probably would kill you if you went down to their village unannounced, but they wouldn't take your head. That was a ceremonial thing. This was a serious deal for the tribe, so while they did start taking more heads and feuding more to get more heads so that they could trade for guns and mirrors and fishing hooks, most of the damage was done by outsiders. Remember the time and the place, the early 1900s and the Amazon. People were dying left and right from yellow fever, infection, childbirth, alien probes, you name it. It was not a good time to be alive as far as medicine goes. Grave robbing was also at its height, so why not just chop off a head from a corpse and shrink it and sell it? Crystal and her family were traded for 3 cartons of cigarettes back in the 1900s. Most tourist heads were shrunk by non-professionals, if you will, and it shows. A true Tsantsa will almost always have black or dark hair, and it'll be very long if it hasn't been cut. Usually an upturned nose like a pig, and its face will be more elongated than round, with dimples on the temples by the ear from where it was held while they were shaping it. It will be almost black skinned from the charcoal they used to dry it while they were shaping it. Tourist heads can be just about any color, denomination, or sex, any length of hair and facial hair. The telltale signs is Tsantsas will have the upturned nose, and their features will be a little more cartoonish, and the tourist heads will be much more round. Remember, they were trying to sell them, so they wanted them to look as human as possible. The Havaro didn't care what they looked like. They just wanted to trap the soul. In the pictures on the website, findersthrift.com, there is a fake head with long black hair. That is actually a really good fake Tsantsa. It shows the upturned nose and the elongated face. The hair and the feel of it actually give it away. It gets made of a clay or sculpey or something like that. But it's a good likeness. He fools quite a bit of people in the shop under dull lighting, which is also key at museums, is to keep them under very dull lighting so you can't see them very well. As I said, real shrunken heads are extremely rare. I watch all the auctions, and like I said, I see maybe 3 or 4 come up for sale a year. Outside of Finders, Thrift, and Vinyl, I think Ripley's in Los Angeles has a few, and then from there you'd have to go up to Seattle to Ye Olde Curiosity Shop to see any on display. And that's a good place to do detective work. If I remember correctly, they have somewhere between 20 and 30 shrunken heads, but the majority of them are not real shrunken heads. And they have some pretty good fake ones in there, and they also have some very good real ones. And as far as I know, that's it on the West Coast for any shrunken heads on public display. So now you can call yourself a shrunken head expert. Maybe not an expert, but at least you're much more knowledgeable. I hope that this has helped you out, and quite honestly, I hope you come across a shrunken head because it is treasure waiting to be picked up. Easy, easy money. Have a great day, and thank you for listening. Once again, check out the website, findersthrift.com, for pictures of the shrunken heads and other things that we talk about. And they're also on our Instagram page, finders_thrift. And if you're a record guy, finders_vinyl. Later.